Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and TKK's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Hello and good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. Got a great show for you lined up. We've got Trey Nance with Nance Law Firm. We've been trying to get him in the studio here with us for quite some time. Give us all the information on kind of the legal side of purchasing a home, what is involved there. So, Trey, good morning. Thanks for tuning in with us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So give us a background of who you are, your law firm, where you guys are located now, and how'd you get there?
That's a loaded question to ask a lawyer that. I've been in Rock Hill for 11 years. I came up from Charleston. Yeah. We have an office down there as well with a full-time attorney. So we have full-time offices in Rock Hill, Fort Mill, and in Charleston. Practice is focused primarily on residential real estate, commercial real estate, business and corporate work, formations, general counsel work. And then we do a fair bit of probate and estate planning as well. So wills, trusts, things of that nature, powers of attorney.
Right.
So we have a fairly broad civil practice. They say 2.5 attorneys, 2 full-time, and then 1 of counsel attorney that does some litigation work for us as well. Fairly large paraprofessional staff of very talented individuals who have been doing this for a good long time. So we've got a good collection of experienced people that are dialed in on getting things done for those very focused areas of practice. Real estate for me being a primary one of those, been doing that for over a decade now, which is kind of hard to believe.
Right.
The time flies when you're having fun. Seen the best of times and the worst of times in this market, right?
For sure. Obviously, we've worked with you for a number of those years that you've been doing it. Mm-hmm. And of course, all of our clients, rave about, the entire process with your office. So real estate, closings, your primary job, but how do those other things that you offer, in regards to, the different services that you provide, not just the real estate law, but everything else, how does that kind of tie in and make your office kind of the go-to, attorney for real estate closings?
It's interesting that you say that. It's dirt is different when it comes to buying and selling real estate. There are so many moving parts that people consider, they think about, or they don't know that they don't know. And that's one thing that I'm very thankful that South Carolina requires the involvement of an attorney on. And most other states kind of encourage that, but South Carolina requires that as to have an attorney involved on your transaction when you're buying or selling a home. And the reason for that is sometimes you don't know what may come up. Part of what I like to talk about is, we do a probate practice and estate planning practice. We have a fluency with the probate code, with the probate process, with what the requirements are with that, wills and trusts and how those work. So when something like that, or if you have a corporate seller, it's a developer or an investor that's selling a property that may have redeveloped a property or a series of properties, we can anticipate, because we have those disciplines, we have those other areas of our practice, we have a fluency in all of that that allows us to understand very quickly and very directly some of the things that may come up. For example, you say you have a seller that mom and dad have owned this property since 1968 when they built the house. And dad passed away in the mid-80s, and mom just passed, and the oldest is the executor of the estate, or personal representative, as they're called now. Some of the things that may not had a will, some of the things that may come up in that process where you're anticipating a 30-day closing when you go under contract and say they didn't have a will, well, that gets materially more difficult.
Sure.
That gets a lot more complicated. Say there's creditor claims in the estate. Say you have heirs that are contesting the estate. How do you resolve those issues? How do you get around those? How do you kind of get out in front of all that? And the fact that we understand that because we do that as a as part of our regular practice allows us to kind of read the tea leaves, as it were, to see what issues may come up, get in front of those, and start addressing those before they become real issues that can delay closing, delay underwriting, you know, turn your 30-day closing into a 90-day closing, which, you know, unfortunately can't happen on occasion. So we try to minimize those risks as much as possible to make the closing as quick and efficient as it possibly can be for the buyer.
Right, and certainly some of those instances can railroad the entire deal. You know, you lose money. You know, maybe you just it doesn't take 90 days to close. Maybe it just doesn't close because of those issues. So you can call us anytime with questions during or after the show, 704-999-6646. If you've got real estate questions, maybe you going through one of those situations that Trey Nance just listed, be sure to give us a call. So Trey, kind of diving into the actual real estate process. We hear all the times when I'm talking with clients, do I have to have an attorney? Why do I have to have an attorney? What what is title insurance? Let's define some of these things and why.
Sure.
We need those things during the process and how it actually is to the true benefit of those clients. And you just mentioned some of those things too. But.
So first and foremost, in South Carolina anyway, you're required to use an attorney to supervise any settlement or conveyance of real estate, whether that's commercial, whether that's residential, whether that's a home equity line, whether that's refinance or a purchase.
Right. And why would some states maybe not have that requirement? Why is it so much better in South Carolina?
Well, you know, again, I'm very biased on all this.
But I'd agree with you. Not an attorney myself, of course. I've done real estate transactions for the past 15 years. Mm-hmm. And used to work in all over the country, and so I've had the experience of both sides, and I would certainly agree with you.
It's interesting, anecdotal story here is I was just in Texas not too very long ago for a software and settlement conference in Austin, which is a fantastic town,
good place.
We never had a chance to go, but we were there with some kind of very progressive folks and from all over the country. All 50 states were there, and having conversations is kind of one of the few guys from South Carolina that was there, explaining how we do things. You know, the attorney is the settlement agent, is the escrow agent, is the title agent, and those are all very different roles in some states. You go out west, and you have title company closings, and some people that relocate to South Carolina are not used to having an attorney involved or the necessity of having an attorney involved. They're not used to the peculiarities of a legal representation, and that's what it is.
Right.
They're used to just going in, signing escrow papers, and when it funds, and we close, and the deed records, and they get keys whenever they get keys. And it's a very different thing in South Carolina. When you come to closing, you sign your loan documents, checks are dispersed, and you get keys. There's no waiting period. You're not waiting for escrow to close. There's no delays. There's no complications when it comes to that. When you come to the closing, you are closing, and it is your house. And getting over some of those misunderstandings is sometimes challenging, depending on what state people are coming from.
Yeah.
But it was a very interesting talk with some people in the industry, colleagues in the industry that do title insurance, that do settlement stuff, that do escrow stuff and title. And they're like, so you do all of that? Yep. In South Carolina, your closing attorney is your title agent, is your settlement agent, is your escrow agent. We do everything. I refer to the closing attorney is the cesspool of the transaction. It all filters down to us. I'm a big fan of a good attorney joke. You know, good lawyer jokes are always fun, but it's true. At the end of the day, we're the guy in the center of the wheel of all those spokes. It all comes down to us. All the loan documents come to us. The buyer and seller come to us. The contract comes to us. We disperse all the checks. We release the keys. We record the deed. We facilitate the ultimate execution of the shared desires of all these people, willing buyers, willing sellers, agents that are facilitating, inspectors that are doing their job, and lenders like yourself that are making the whole thing happen. You're the fuel in the engine that makes it run. And we just kind of we're the spark, as it were.
Does that add a layer of risk to what you do as when other states have all these different roles that different people are filling? you mentioned the, you know, cesspool. I wouldn't, certainly wouldn't call it that. You know, you're kind of taking the brunt. But does that add additional things on your end? Obviously, probably more work. But is it?
Well, it, to my mind, it's at first glance is more work. To my mind, in my experience, it actually simplifies things. You have less cooks in the kitchen, as it were.
Right.
You have one office, one team that ties in with the lender, that ties in with the agents and the inspectors. And you have one hub for information that comes in and it comes out, that facilitates the conclusion, that sets the schedule, that dictates the cadence, as it were, to determine exactly what's going to happen for that buyer when they're getting their home, and that seller when they're selling their home. We're the kind of the touchstone for all of that. So to me, that simplifies the process.
Sure.
So you have less hands in the pot. It all goes to one place. So to that extent, is there more risk? I suppose that one could say that because you have multiple jobs. You know, we have the title risk. We have the settlement risk. We're responsible for a heck of a lot of money. In trust for other people. That said, we have processes in place to where when you collapse all that down and you put it into one simplified role, it makes it very easy to where you don't have to worry about other people stepping on toes. It's all one place, and so you can control things. And when you control things, you manage that risk. So to me, it makes things ultimately much more efficient.
For sure. When you're buying a house and getting financed, I think on average there's 34 people involved in the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
And so, huge link. If something goes wrong, of course, then it's just a kind of a chain reaction process. So anytime that you can maybe filter out some of those, that average of 34 people, if you can get that down, of course, makes it more streamlined process.
Big fan of keeping it simple.
Absolutely. And so, you know, there's a lot of what you do is going to be different from what I do in the sense that more of a lot of the things that I do is very visible to the client, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a lot of background work.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe people don't quite understand how much work is actually done on your end. What is going on during that process? Is that what's the client see when they're buying a house from that attorney side, you know, pulling the title report, doing all the things that you're doing? You know, how do you communicate that with the client?
So it's funny that you say that. You underwrite the financing of the person.
Right.
What we basically do is underwrite the property. And what I mean by that is you're looking at the finances of the individual, the credit, the payment history, the income, all the things that show whether or not that individual or that family can afford to pay back the money that they're borrowing to buy that home.
Yep.
What I'm doing is similar but very different in that we're looking at, is that property or is that home what that family or individual is bargaining for? Are they getting the thing that they thought they would get? You know, dirt is very old. You know, people think, well, it's new construction. I don't need to worry about getting a home inspection, or I don't need to worry about getting a full title search or title insurance, which I'm sure we're going to talk about.
Yep.
It's not that simple. You know, we're not looking at the age of the home. We're not looking at how long the house has been there. We're looking at how old that dirt is and how long that's been owned. So what we're doing is certifying to and researching each individual property to a minimum of 40 years of history as to ownership of that dirt. That's liens, that's tax issues, that's judgments, that's estates and probate issues, conveyances of partial interests, property that may have been pledged for a bond, many and innumerable different things that one can do with land or interests in land using as collateral for debt to make sure that that buyer, when they come to closing, and you fund that loan, they own that property. It's theirs. Nobody else has any claim to it. Nobody else has any interest in it. The home that they're buying or that they've built, as the case may be, is in fact theirs and theirs alone. And we're insuring and certifying to that effect. So while you're verifying the accuracy and ability of the information and the ability of the individual to buy and pay back the debt related to the property. We're ensuring that the property that they're buying and that you're getting a mortgage on as the lender is accurate, complete, and clear.
Yeah. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. I'm your host, Brandon Culver. We've got Trey Nance with Nance Law Firm here in studio with us. So Trey, you're going back at least 40 years. Mm-hmm. Obviously, record keeping is not what it what it is today with all being digital. How does that process look? Do you guys ever get caught up in the fact that maybe some records don't exist? Or like, what does that process look like to make sure that, like you said, when someone is purchasing a property, they're getting exactly what they intend to be getting?
You know, when you're a real estate attorney, at least in this state, you have to be part historian. It's just part of the job. And, you know, one of the peculiar things that we have in this state is that each county is individually responsible for its land records. And those land records are typically kept and custodianed by the clerk of court in that county, the register of deeds in other states. It's kind of an interchangeable term, but sometimes those records were not well kept or poorly Xeroxed, or maybe there was a flood or a fire or an issue in that particular county's courthouse. Mm-hmm. And so you had damaged records, or you have incomplete records or records that are sometimes indecipherable. Or perhaps you had an indexing issue. You know, somebody had a name misspelling, or the subdivision was listed 16 different ways. I'm thinking of a very specific example here in the area. So you have to check all those variations of the names. And sometimes things get missed, and that happens sometimes. You know, people are imperfect, and records maintained and created by people are inherently imperfect.
Right.
So what we do to ensure against that, you know, we do everything that we can to ensure that all the records that we can find or reasonably locate are true, accurate, and correct. But what we do for lenders and encourage the buyers to do is purchase what's called title insurance. And title insurance basically is a very simple form of insurance, a single premium, not a recurring premium like homeowners insurance or anything like that. You pay for it when you buy, and it's good for as long as you own the property. And what it does is ensures that you own, free and clear, the dirt that you're buying. Better to any potential claimants, omitted heirs, instances of fraud. And that's something that comes up quite a bit. And I get a little soapboxy about this.
Please.
Sometimes when we do home equity lines or refinances, you'll have some lenders or some buyers, or if we have investors, that they'll pay cash or have nominal small loans because they're flipping it.
Right.
Whatever the case is, they'll go, I'll just do an attorney. I'll just depend on your search. Well, that's all well and good. My search, in my opinion, that I base on that search is founded entirely on the public records and assumes that the accuracy of the public records are fairly absolute. I can't make representations, and I can't know, to use a Rumsfeldism, I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
So if a record is incomplete, if a search does not turn up something that was misindexed by a clerk, or had a typographical that was fairly severe, or wasn't entirely scanned in, or was a lost or destroyed record. I don't have a way of knowing that. And so my opinion, and therefore the search, is not going to show that. One thing that title insurance does is they step in and fill that gap. So if there's something that's omitted, something that's missing, instances of fraud, which is very rare, knock on wood, but fraudulent records that are filed, title insurance says, we will make you, as the buyer, whole and ensure that you own the property that you bought. And we will either pay for somebody to fix those legal errors, or we will compensate you for the loss in value on that. And so basically what they're doing is ensuring that the investment that you're making when you're buying a home, the largest investment that you're going to make in your life, big money, is yours and yours entirely. And so to me, it's kind of a no-brainer.
Sure.
To get that. It's a single premium, very nominal fee. Most lenders make you purchase that for their interest anyway. And what you get for the owner's policy is you're getting 100% insurance. That insurance is a policy that you receive that right. The house that you're buying is in fact yours.
So you've got a lender's title insurance policy, mm-hmm. which is covering the lender in
yep.
case any of these, you know, past claims that didn't come up in the title search come up. And then the owner's title, which he says optional technically, mm-hmm. covers what exactly?
So when you buy a home, not for a refinance or anything like that, when you're buying a home, mm-hmm. Most lenders will require you to buy what's called a lender's title insurance policy. And this is what we've talked about. It's insuring ownership and right. and good title, that's what we say, to the property being conveyed or secured by the mortgage. The lender's policy secures the benefit and to the interest of the bank, the lender, the person who's putting up the mortgage for the purchase.
Okay, up into that loan amount.
Correct.
Got it.
Because that's the only interest that the lender has.
Right.
For you as a buyer, say you're putting 20, 30% down, and you know that's real money these days. What your owner's policy does is insures you as the new owner. So just because your lender may get a policy does not necessarily mean that you have any coverage. That's for the lender's benefit only, not for yours. That policy that you're required to buy as condition of your loan is for the lender and their benefit, not for you as the homeowner.
So if you're buying, let's say, a $300,000 house and putting $50,000 down, and the lender's going to require the lender title policy,
mm-hmm.
so that's going to cover that $250,000,
mm-hmm.
and that owner's policy is going to cover that extra $50,000 or whatever the house may be worth.
You got it. And it's a nominal fee. So what we do, right. at least for us and our underwriters, and we utilize a company that is by market share, the largest underwriter by far in the industry. It's part of Fidelity Group of Companies. We write with Chicago Title Insurance, and Fidelity Title Insurance is the biggest players in the game. What we do is ensure that the money that you're putting down, that $50,000 extra on top of that $250,000, is 100% secured as to the interest you're putting into that property. And it's a nominal fee. So we do what's called a simultaneous issue of the policy. You're having to pay for that lender's policy anyway. Mm-hmm. So we effectively do a discount where we issue both policies for a nominal rate on top of each other. So you're not paying two premiums at once. You're paying a single premium with a very minor carrier on top of that. And you're getting the same coverage up to your purchase price. Lender's getting their required coverage up to their loan amount. And everybody involved, buyer and lender, are also completely insured and covered as to the money that they're putting into that property, that what's being secured and or being purchased, as the case may be, is true, correct, accurate, and well and truly theirs.
Yeah. I think everyone would agree that, you know, insurance for the most part is is always – a waste of money up until the time that you need it.
You got it. And just like lawyers.
Just like lawyers. And if the day comes and God forbid something happens, or if you had a claim and you don't have that that insurance, what have mm-hmm. you know, it can be enough to ruin you, bankrupt you.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen that on occasion where we've had investors that have gone in and they've bought properties and I don't need the insurance, whatever. Okay, and I'll sign a what's called a I told you so letter, mm-hmm. Saying, you know, I've advised you to do this. It's my strong recommendation that you do this. You know, you're flying without a parachute here, and sometimes things happen. And sure enough, things happened. And you know, the anecdotal story for this area some years ago was the Catawba Indian Nation,
right?
When they reasserted their claims to some of the designated reservation area. Some subdivisions, some homes were built on land that was actually designated for the Catawba Nation. And when that claim was confirmed in federal court and the Catawba Nation was granted their rights back into the reservation territories, these homeowners that did not have title insurance lost their homes. They did not own that property, and they did not have coverage to make them whole. So they were done. And that caused a tremendous amount of problems in this area that we still even discuss today.
Sure.
In our practice with other developers in the area. It is still one of those things that still echoes through time, as it were.
It's got to be one of the biggest examples of a title insurance, but a very obviously old claim for, you know, for an Indian reservation. And then for whatever reason, they hadn't claimed it yet. And they come back.
And you had an erosion over time of people building on and right. You know, a non-recognition of territory. And, you know, lawsuits were filed. Things happened. And the federal government concurred that, yes, this territory is well and truly designated to the Catawba Nation and people that bought homes and assumed that everything was well and truly correct were not. And those who had coverage were made whole. Those who did not have coverage, they had problems.
Had a rough go of it.
Yeah. And you know, that's kind of a boogeyman story, I suppose. But it's one of those things that's kind of in the popular conscious, at least for this area, because it's a real world example.
Right.
I mean, that's no kidding. You're putting a ton of money into that home. That's where you live.
Yeah, you know, we talk all the time about having a full team, and I know you want to touch on this too. But we talk all the time about having the right team in place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had a home inspector on not too long ago, and you know, you're buying. You talked about it, new construction. You're buying probably the biggest thing you'll ever buy. Certainly, whether you want to call it an investment or whatever. I personally think it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not doing your due diligence to protect such a substantial purchase, a substantial investment, you know, you're opening yourself up to disaster.
You know, I get where people get very cost conscious. And, right. You know, that's just being a wise consumer. I totally get that. But when you are making the single biggest purchase of your adult life,
yeah,
student loans notwithstanding.
I'll leave that one alone. I got plenty to say.
Not teeing you up there. But, you know, the fact that you're going to argue or skip coverages or not get an inspection or not get a pest inspection or not get a homeowner's reinspection on new construction or for a pest inspection, I don't quite understand that logic.
Right.
You're arguing over $50 to $100 and you're getting ready to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's to me the height of foolishness to
it really is.
To shop around yeah. on that or
right.
to skimp on that coverage.
Yep.
If you're gonna not get the warranty, skip the warranty on the stereo at Best Buy. That's fine. Okay. No problem with that. This is your home. This is where your kids are going to live. This is where you're going to raise your family. This is the biggest investment you're going to make in your lifetime. Do not shortchange your lender, your agent, your inspector, or your attorney. Make sure that you have a team in place that knows what they're doing, works well together, and is going to be responsive and responsible to the things and concerns that are material to that transaction. I just don't understand when people want to make an issue over, oh, I don't want that pest inspection. Okay, well, you may have foundation or base seal issues, and that's going to be a $10,000 issue. I don't have that to fix just
right.
out of the hat. I don't think most people do. And that's, by example, when I bought my first home. There's a $10,000 worth of base seal termite damage that had to be repaired before we can close. And that wasn't discovered until 3 days before closing with the pest reinspection.
Wow.
That's not.
And that's enough. I mean, again, that's, you know, for most people, and I think you and I included, you know, $10,000 is a huge sum of money and enough to just about ruin, you know, cause severe problems at the very least.
Sure. Now think about your down payment on that $300,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
50 grand. That's a lot of money. Well, if you can pay a few hundred dollars to make that somebody else's problem, why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
So That's
being wise.
That's being wise. That's not being wasteful. That's not being foolish. That's investing in your home.
Right.
That's investing in that investment.
You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Colberg. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704 888-999-6646. We've got Trey Nance with Nance Law Firm here in studio with us, attorney extraordinaire. local wealth of knowledge and information here, does most, if not all of my real estate closings. All my clients rave about Nance Law Firm. Talking about the team and clients raving about, you know, Nance Law Firm, it really does make a team. No offense, Trey, but the attorney, you're kind of the face of everything, but the wheels to your engine are your staff paralegals.
You're 1,000% correct.
Right.
I sign things and make funny jokes and sit at the table.
And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about closing personality. So we'll get to that for sure. But tell us about your staff. What they're kind of working on, the paralegals. Obviously, from my perspective, in the lending phase, I'm dealing most often with paralegals working through the title search and that type of thing. Why is you're a staff so important to your success and the client care?
I love the opportunity to brag on my people.
Right.
They are what makes us, that makes the firm the firm. I am smart enough to do a couple of things. That is, one, hire women to run the practice. They know what they're doing, and they're very good at making sure I get done what needs to get done.
Sure.
And two, they are some of the most talented and capable and intelligent individuals that you would ever meet. So one of the people say, you've done this for a number of years now, and you seem to be somewhat successful at what you're doing, and it's nothing to do with me. I'm smart enough to hire people that are smart enough and more capable than I am myself.
Sure.
And so the way that we've worked our practice and the way that we do our workflow, to use a buzzword, is we have kind of a director of operations, as it were, who has a law degree, who was on the real estate resale and realtor side of it, has a license for that, understands what it means and what happens on the buyer and seller and the agents part of the industry, kind of maintains and manages the process. We were very fortunate to get some wonderful talent to do the transaction-specific coordination. And what she does is basically works with your processors and your underwriters in the back and forth to make sure that all the title stuff's correct, all the financing information is correct, everything's squared away, what it needs to be. You guys, what you have, what you need in order to finish your file to get to closing on time. And then we have a dedicated title underwriter who's been with me for a very long time and has touched all aspects of transactions. She started in reception and started doing transaction management. Now she does the title work, who reviews all the information from that is provided by our dedicated title abstractors, whose only job is to research public records. That's all that they do.
Sounds
they spend
fun.
All their it is for them. it is for them.
Yeah.
Is that what they do? Is spend all their time at the courthouse,
right?
Going through those records, and they know them very well, and they know the people very well, and they are very capable. And as a result, they're very analytical. That understand, okay, this is a problem, this is not a problem. Trey needs to see this, Jamie needs to see this, Stephanie needs to see this, Megan needs to see this, whoever. Somebody in our office needs to make note of this and look at this for a re-review. And so as a result, we all work very well. It's very segmented, it's very clean in how it starts from start to finish. When we get a file open and to closing table, all I do is watch these professionals do what they do extraordinarily well, and I have that fortune of doing that. If it comes to my attention and it lands on my desk, it usually means it's a fairly severe or complicated problem.
Yeah.
And fortunately, knock on wood, that doesn't happen very often. So what we do in our office, to talk about our processes specifically, is that we have an all-hands meeting at least once a week,
right,
where we go through every current active file. Talk about any issues, challenges, concerns, problems, delays, complications, etc. So that everybody on the team is aware of what issues are related to whatever file at whatever point in the process that it's in, either at the very beginning under contract or right before closing or post-closing, whatever. Everybody has a seat at the table to discuss that, and everybody has visibility into that. To me, that's a little unusual. I don't know that that's a typical thing within the industry, is that the process is really owned by the team, not just the lawyer. I'm very deliberately a bystander in the process. I'm letting these subject matter experts, if I can use that term, do what they do best and educate each other and educate the rest of their team on what needs to happen, what challenges they have, what resources they require, what problems they're having, what solutions they've developed, whatever the case may be. My job is to simply conduct that orchestra and let them do what they do. As a result, we have an extraordinarily high customer satisfaction rating. And we'll brag on my people here a little bit since you've opened the door.
Wide open.
You know, in 2019, we did well over 500 transactions on the purchase side.
Strong.
For a small firm like us, that's extraordinary. And we have other areas of practice that we're in. So I like to say that we're kind of a big guy that punches above our weight. We were over a 98.5% customer satisfaction rating. We're 98, more than 98.5% of the buyers that we have worked with would absolutely refer us to other people. That to me is a huge win. And we see people that I've worked with for over the last 10 years that have come back time and time again, that come back and trust us with their legal matters for wills or business formations or corporate counsel, or referred their family, referred their friends. That to me is the biggest endorsement. And other professionals in the industry that we work with, lenders, realtors that we work with, bring us their personal business. That to me is the hugest endorsement of me and my outstanding team that I can possibly receive.
Certainly you do have a fantastic team, and I'm one of those business people that have done, you know, personal closings. But I think three deals with that I closed with you. I had a couple more, but they were up in the north side of the Carolina.
Working on that.
So we're working on that. But to your credit, Trey, you do conduct the orchestra, and I'm no different. You know, I've built out, you know, a team that does so much and keeps, you know, all my clients fantastically happy. But it really is, you know, your job to delegate and to, you know, create and to allow your team to work so efficiently. So a lot of the credit goes to you as well. And of course, you do have the closing personality. That's well known in the industry. Whenever I talk to an agent, you use Trey. I had a closing with him last week. He was great. What is it that you? You obviously do a lot of things different than most attorneys. That, you know, just making it fun.
Yeah.
The closing, it can be a little stuffy sometimes.
Can.
What is it that makes you different during that process?
You know, my philosophy of this really starts at the very beginning is that when buyers are starting on this process, they're going to get absolutely overwhelmed or can get overwhelmed with a tremendous amount of information. They're going to get asked questions front, left, and center from their agent, from their lender, from that lender's processor. Depending on how efficient that process is, you guys are very much the exception to me. That's why we love working with you. From their inspectors, from their appraisers, whatever the case may be. You know, I always like to joke is that if you hear from me or my office early, there's a problem. You don't want to hear from the lawyer generally until you get right before closing. Because if you do, that's indicative of a problem or an issue that needs to be resolved. So we try to minimize the noise. We try to minimize the distraction. As a result, we've invested very heavily in technology and having a secure matter management platform that allows us and allows everybody involved on the transaction, agents, lenders, buyers, sellers, everybody, to participate and kind of track the process in real time. Where is the attorney at? Where is title at? What's going on with the transaction? Right. So they can get real-time updates whenever we to their file. Whenever we update something, they get a notification of that. They have a secure login where they can upload documents, download documents, share documents, invoices, contracts, whatever, messages, questions, request updates, see when title's been generated or searched, whatever the case may be. They can see what's going on, have full visibility into their file. And that's something, yes, there's an app for that. What I always like to say is, and that we're kind of cutting edge when it comes to that.
Yeah, and not many attorneys in the area or wherever. I mean, I deal with mostly just local business here in the Carolinas. I am trying to think of another company, another attorney's office that uses technology so well as your office. I don't think I can think of any.
We try to be cutting edge. This is why I try to personally invest in that education and that technology and that effort, is because, you know, people buy differently. People think differently from what they did 10 years ago when I started doing this.
5 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. You're 100% correct. In that, you know, people are used to pulling up their phone, they're scrolling Instagram, they're scrolling Facebook, and okay, they're buying a home. They can scroll their app with our office and see, okay, we're still on track.
Right.
Title's clear. Everything's good. No problems. They have a question, they can ask their lawyer from their phone. It's all right there in real time.
I've never had a complaint that we over-communicated something.
We try. We try. And you know, our big thing is we want to be available, whether that's text message, whether that's email, whether that's fax, letter, phone call, whatever. We want to try to be as available as we can for relevant communication and information and questions that somebody would have of their attorney during the closing process. We try to make ourselves as available as we can, right down to an 800 number that somebody can call. And what we try to do is minimize the noise, minimize the confusion, minimize the back and forth, focus on what's relevant. What do you need to know to move your transaction forward? What do we need to know to move your transaction? If we can get it from the agent, or if we can get it from the lender or the processor, we're going to do that. We're not going to muddle up or overburden somebody's email inbox, because they're working for a living too.
Yeah.
They don't need to worry about answering an email from an attorney about a question that I can easily answer with their buyer's agent or their lender. There's no reason for me to do that. There's no reason for anybody to do that. So we try to minimize that process so that when they come to closing, it's a fairly relaxed process to get there. And when they get there, it's a happy experience. This is the biggest purchase of their life. They're going to raise their family in this home. That's a positive, happy, uplifting thing. It should not be stuffy. It should not be negative. It should not be off-putting. And at the same time, they should know with confidence what they're getting into and what the papers say. And that's a big thing for me.
Big thing. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Call us anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. Got Trey Nance with Nance Law Firm here in studio with us. So closing really is, you know, a celebration. I think, you know, going through the loan process, buying the home, it is somewhat of a stressful process, although we go to great lengths to make sure it's really a fantastic experience. You know, we differentiate ourselves through that process with other lenders in the business on how we take care of the client, the things that we do, the over communication, just like you do. And obviously closing, getting the keys, knowing you're getting to the house is a celebration right before the next awful phase of actually moving. It's that brief window when actually it should be a celebration, because then right after you walk out, you got to move, and that's kind of a downer.
Do I really have this much stuff?
I don't really. Yeah. It adds up quick. I move way too often, and I'm happy to use movers these days.
I'm gonna bring the dogs and some family pictures next time. That's it. I'm leaving furniture, leaving clothes, leaving all that.
Perfect. That is the way to do it. So we've talked a lot about during the issues that could come up. If they land on your desk, it's a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, you can resolve issues working with the lender or the real estate agent, which is why, again, you know, we talk so often on the show about having a trusted team of people that work together, that know each other, that have a level of trust between each other when you're purchasing a house. What are some of those issues that do maybe come up, though, that have to be addressed?
So some of the big things that we've seen lately are kind of what we touched on earlier with probate issues. People not having wills. And, you know, I think that comes from a perspective that I don't need to worry about doing a will or doing estate planning because I don't have a whole lot of money and the state's going to figure it all out anyway. Okay, well, yeah, true, maybe to an extent. The biggest thing that you can get and that you do with drafting in a will and getting a will is certainty. It's control. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with money. It's got nothing to do with net worth. It's got nothing to do with how much you have. It's got everything to do with who's going to manage things and who has authority to manage things, which is why we do a couple of things a little differently with how we title our real estate when we do transactions. We counsel people when it comes to that. But the biggest issues by far that we've seen lately are people going under contract for either inherited property or a spouse that's unfortunately recently passed. Is they list it because they're moving with their kids or moving down to Florida or whatever the case may be. And they're wanting to sell their home. And buyers go under contract and they're thinking that they're going to be closing in 30 to 35 days because that's how long the underwriting process may necessarily take. So we'll be ready to go by this time in March. Not necessarily the case. You're buying the home and say, you know, mom has passed. They're selling the property. Mom didn't have a will. Well, now we have to justify the purchase price with an appraisal or a broker's price opinion. File a petition with the judge of probate in this county or whatever county you're buying or selling in. Serve that petition, which is effectively a lawsuit, on all the potential heirs, assuming that, of course, probate has even been opened for that process. And then wait minimally 30 days, as required by the civil rules and court rules, to have a hearing to determine whether or not that the property can and should be sold, whether or not the purchase price, and that's the other part of it, is reasonable within the market and whether or not we have reasonable justification for that purchase price or loan amount. And the court has to approve it before we can even sit down at the closing table. And so you're talking about a tremendous delay. So if you've got movers scheduled, if you've filed your notice of termination with your landlord on your lease, if you've sold another property, waiting to move into another one on a back-to-back closing, whatever your situation is, not going into that with visibility, knowing how that process is going to be reconciled or handled, or what issues or challenges may come up from that. And to our agents and our vendors that you and I both work with, you know, a big part of that is having a conversation with the attorneys early and often about any peculiarities or challenges or vagaries that you may have in your listing or with your buyers. Say you have buyers that are getting divorced. You know, that's another complication that can come up and that does often come up.
Yeah, I'm dealing with it right now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, at least a couple of times a month we see that in a closing cycle. You know, what comes out of that? How do you resolve that? What solutions can you create to those problems? And if you don't have a disciplined practice or a multidisciplined practice that allows you the visibility, the fluency, and the expertise, much as I can't use that word, into those areas, you know, you're somewhat shortchanging yourself. And that's the importance of having somebody that knows the area, that knows the practice, that knows these other areas of practice, that can help anticipate those issues, address those issues, overcome those issues, or create solutions around those issues as your particular individual case may present. In order to get you one either in that home or get that home sold as quickly and efficiently for the price that you've agreed on.
So in addressing the fact that most people don't have a will,
mm-hmm.
is it a money saving issue? You know, like, you know, hey, I don't want to spend $75 on a pest inspection, even though it could cost me 10 grand down the road.
Yep.
Is it just ignorance? Is it, I don't, you know, what do you think it is?
Well,
how do we address that?
You know, I face this challenge and have faced this challenge for a number of years, is that people, I think, in my opinion, you have kind of a two-pronged issue here. One is, well, I don't have much, so I don't need a will. There's just no need for it. So they don't recognize the necessity. That to me is the biggest single issue.
So an educational ignorance type of thing.
You own real estate or you have children,
kids,
you need a will, period.
Yeah.
No further discussion.
Right.
You need a will. The other is cost and complication. People are often off-put because they think they're going to spend thousands of dollars on this overly complicated estate plan, and it's just not necessary.
Yeah.
You know, a simple will, you're looking at couple hundred bucks maybe to get that done. There's absolutely no reason, because I have a tremendous amount of colleagues in this area that can help you with a will. You call my office, you call anybody in Rock Hill or the Fort Mill or York or Clover, any of the attorneys that I know, and I get along well with all of them, can help get you a basic will. There's absolutely no reason that you shouldn't do that. It is not cost preclusive. It is not an expensive thing to do.
And what if we've got a will and we're having another kid or buy a new property, whatever? Is that something that we need to continually update? Or
so one thing that I always advise people to do is that on any of life's milestones, buying a property, selling a property, having a child, having a death in the family, getting a promotion at work, getting a new job, getting a raise even, those are all things that should elicit a review of where you are in your life plan. Part of your life plan is an estate plan or a will.
Yeah.
Now, part of that's going to be reviewing your insurance coverages.
I wasn't going to throw it in there, but life insurance as well.
That's
for
a
sure,
huge 100%. Part of it. Life insurance, health insurance, short-term and long-term disability. What are your investments like? And do you own investment properties? Do you have a 401k or an IRA? Have you changed jobs several times in the last few years? And do you have multiple 401ks in multiple places? Do you need to roll that over? You know, that's all part of a broader conversation that absolutely needs to occur. And it's a very simple one. People just put it off, just like, you know, waiting the last minute to pay their taxes or anything else. You know, it's a simple thing. Pull out your information. Sit down. We, as for us, try to make it very, very easy. You know, we it's a two-part, usually, process for us to do the estate planning stuff. A 20 to 30-minute phone call is really all we need to start. And then 30 to 45 minutes in either our Rock Hill, Fort Mill, or Charleston offices to review and sign off on your documents. We try to make it as accessible and as easy and as user-friendly as we possibly can make it. And we also try to make it as cost-effective as we can to get all your important documents in place.
We do an annual review for every one of our clients, like every year. And so, you know, we're looking at things like not just, you know, their mortgage needs. You know, have they to have some requirements for accessing some equity, you know, kids in college, whatever. And we'll talk about, you know, their current homeowners insurance policy, if we can save money too. One thing we'll definitely begin to incorporate into that is the estate planning, because I agree it's such an important part. And the last thing you want, you know, my thing was with kids. You know, what happened, you know, it just things happen in life.
People fire and forget on these things all
right.
the time. They'll buy a policy in 1977. They haven't looked at it since. They've been paying the premium. They don't know anything about it. They don't know, is there something they can do to extend or enhance that coverage, whatever the case may be. Same thing with wills. You know, this has come up recently where we've had a client that they did their estate plan, their will, out of state in 1981. Well, they've had three kids since then. Okay. Well, that's a complication.
Yeah.
You know, they've moved six times and had three kids. Yeah. You probably need to review your will.
Yeah.
And it's a simple thing. Just pull out and look at it. Every 5 to 7 years, life's milestones, you're buying a home. You got all your stuff out anyway. Why not look it out? You've got an attorney you're talking to, at least in this state.
Right.
You got a lawyer. Look at it. There's no reason not to.
Maybe we'll make them do it on the front end, too. When they go to your office, I'm going to have all my clients request.
Bring your wheels to closing.
Give me information on estate planning. Absolutely. If you've got questions, we've certainly got the answers. Call us anytime after the show, 704-999-6646. You may listen to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Colberg. Trey Nance here, Nance Law Firm. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Saturday. We'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Colberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tiga K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Colberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.